It is so good to have those that are visiting with us today, and we're thankful that we have the time, the opportunity to worship in a manner that we desire to be in spirit and in truth. We hope you do have in mind our gospel meetings that are coming up. Many times we talk about having a gospel meeting. You go out and tell one of your friends you're having a gospel meeting, they might say, well, what day? You say, no, we're having several days. So you mean you're having several gospel meetings. I don't know why traditionally we have always said a gospel meeting, even for several days. We really should impart to people that we're having gospel meetings. There are several. And again, that we need to be out inviting those. And on our announcements, we have those who are speaking. Topics or the titles of their lessons that we have. So we hope that you have that in mind and that you will be remembering these things in the next few weeks. This morning, we would like to talk a little bit about some of the thoughts from the song that we just sang. And if you are assembled this morning, and if you are a Christian, I hope that you were thinking about the words to this song. Now, the first verse, and also the chorus, as we have it made out, those words were written by William Houghton. Verses 2, 3, and 4 were written by Ellis Crum. Ellis Crum was the publisher of Sacred Selections, a songbook that most churches of Christ used for many years. He wrote verses 2, 3, and 4. But again, the first verse and also the chorus are thoughts of William Houghton. And if we think about the words here, lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Lead me to some wayward soul, to one who's wandered from the fold. Help me turn him unto thee, thy blessings to behold. Lead me from self-righteousness. May Christ always be seen in me. How can I do any less than lead more souls to thee? Open hearts of those I love to hear and heed the gospel call. May they start to heaven above and may they never fall. Few there are who seem to care and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today. Did you mean the words that you sang? I want us to think about that today. Wes was a young man that had been in the service. He came home to Melbourne, Florida, after I had been preaching there a very short amount of time. I was up at the building working one day, and he stopped by and we talked. And his grandmother and his sister attended there, but he had never been baptized. He had never obeyed the gospel of Christ. And as we talked, he decided that was something that he needed to do. And one of the elders of the church that he had known really all of his life, that he came and he baptized Wes. As Wes was working, he had another friend of his who had also been in the military, was working with him, that he invited Colin to come and visit our service. Colin came. I had the opportunity to go out and talk to Colin and to study with him and to study with his wife. Colin obeyed the gospel. He came to services, but his wife, very shy, she would not come. And again, I had opportunity to go and continue to study with him and to talk to Anna. And there were several difficulties that she had in her life. One of those that she was part of Native Americans, or those we many times call Indians. And in that belief, it was that their ancestors came back, that they were reincarnated and came and lived in this life. And she had a problem with that. And again, we discussed the scriptures. And finally, Anna obeyed the gospel. And they had two children. And again, they were growing, and we left the congregation. They eventually moved to Pennsylvania. I have recently found out about their son, that he went all the way from Pennsylvania to Florida College, that he has been a very good influence on many people. My point in all this is, if we would ask this and desire this, lead me to one soul today. So many times that turns into many more. And Wes, his wife, I studied with her. She was baptized. They had several children, 4 girls. Again, many of them have gone on to be at Florida College, that have led very good lives and I think have been very good influences. Sometimes it is just one person to talk to, one person to help them see what the gospel says that will lead you to many more. We need to have that desire. We need to mean even what we have said in that song, lead me to some soul today. First thought about the song and the thoughts there, this should be our desire. My desire, your desire should be to bring others to Jesus Christ. One, because what Christ has done for them. As Steve read to us from Isaiah 53, the suffering servant of all our Lord Jesus Christ went through to bring about salvation to people. And there are many that do not know that way. And a second reason is so that that individual might have eternal salvation. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 1, Paul, previous to the chapter division as we have it, has been writing about the Jews, his brethren, his countrymen, even those who had persecuted and harmed him. And he says that they are stumbling at the stumbling block of Jesus Christ. Jesus was not the Messiah that they were looking for. That he was crucified, that he was hung on a cross. He was a curse. He didn't come to lead them out from under Roman bondage. So he could not have been the Messiah or the Christ. And yet as he says that they are stumbling over him, Paul in verse 1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. His desire for all of these, those that had harmed him, those that were stumbling, he wanted all of these to have salvation. That's why Paul lived the life that he did. If you saw someone stumble or about to stumble, what would you do? You know, there's a few of the kids at school, I think if they stumbled and fell, I'd probably laugh. And there's a few of them sometimes I'd like to see do that. But for the most part, someone I know that's going to stumble and about to fall, if I can catch them, if I can help them, that's what any of us would do. We would want to help them overcome that so that they are not harmed, they are not hurt. When we see people in need of the gospel and know that they are stumbling, know that they are giving themselves to the world, what are we doing about it? One of the problems we face is people do have to see their need. That person that's stumbling and about to fall, maybe they'll take 2 or 3 steps, and maybe we can help them, but they've got to see their need. I'm about to fall. I need some help. Many people do not understand their need for the gospel of Christ. It can be very difficult to help that kind of person. But we need to be there for whoever it may be that we are trying to help that person that is in need of the gospel. My heart's desire and my prayer is that all people should be saved. And if I have that knowledge, and you do as Christians, we need to be helping others. This should be our desire even as we would pray about the opportunity to help others be saved. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and verse 3. Paul is coming to the conclusion of this epistle to the church at Colossae. Paul is imprisoned. And again, even from in prison, he is writing letters. And he's encouraging brethren. Even though he is suffering, he's trying to bring others to the point that they will be spreading the gospel. And then he says, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which we also have been imprisoned. Paul said, open a door up for us. Pray for that. This should be my desire. This should be my prayer. Have you ever included this in your prayer? lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. I've included that in my prayers many times. And that truly is my desire. And I know that's what the Lord wants from each one of us. This should be important to us. It should be something meaningful to us. We're busy. There are many things going on in our life. You probably have a list. Maybe what you're going to do today or tomorrow. All of these very important things. Where would this come on your list? Of finding someone that needs eternal salvation. And even praying about it. Paul says, devote yourself to prayer. Keep alert in it. In doing so, pray for this, that someone may hear the gospel. This also is the desire of the Lord, that we would be led to some soul, that they might have salvation. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. We see there Jesus and his disciples that they are passing through Samaria, which, as we mentioned, that many Jews would not even pass through Samaria. But as they did, that they came to Sychar, and Jacob's well was about half a mile outside of Sychar. And Jesus was there, and his disciples go into the city to buy some food. And this Samaritan woman is there, and Jesus asks her for a drink. And she's amazed at this. Why would you even ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Jesus goes on to explain that he can give her living water so that she would never thirst. She is amazed by this. And it goes on eventually that she returns into the city. And his disciples come out. And they're asking, why do you speak with her? The woman comes back in verse 29 and says to those in the city, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? She had that understanding. The disciples, verse 31, are asking him to eat. Verse 32, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? We know they're looking only on what's physical. He says, I've got food to eat. I've got spiritual nourishment that is taking place. And they say, what have you had to eat? They're talking only about physical. And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who is reaping is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. His food was that which was spiritual. He had talked to this woman. This woman was going back into the city. All of the people from the city are going to come out. And as they're going to come out, this is the harvest. This is the fields that are white. And he says there in verse 35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. I mentioned before, my dad had Alzheimer's for about 20 years. About 15 or 16 of those years, Mom and Dad lived in Tampa. The weather was always nice. Dad would go out for a walk, usually around a few blocks. It was about a mile. And Dad would get back and might be there a little while, and he'd forgotten that he'd gone on a walk. Or maybe somebody would show up, and he would say, come on, let's go for a walk. And they'd go for a walk. And he might do that 3 or 4 times a day. And he would walk all this. And again, not remembering really any of it. But as he walked, he was always looking. I've got an adjustable wrench today that he found as he was walking. He'd find money sometimes. He'd find coins. He'd find odds and ends. He was always looking. Even in his mind that he did not know much of what was going on, he was always looking. This is the point here. Look. We go through life and we don't look. We go through life and we don't see. There are people all around us, probably several days, that need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we don't open our mouths. Our gospel meetings that are coming up, this is a perfect opportunity. Perfect opportunity to tell someone else, I really would like for you to come and hear a lesson. I really would like for you to understand the gospel of Christ. I care for you. Again, going back to our song. Few there are that pray. Few there are that care. Do we really care? Are we really looking? Jesus said, look on the fields. He mentions the one who is reaping is already gathering wages. These fields are white for harvest. Jesus says, don't wait the 4 months. And again, I don't know, but this is probably about 4 months from their harvest time of wheat. That is, the wheat would ripen, and as the sun would be on it and you would look at the field, it would be almost white. The last couple of times that we've come to service, as we've come down Capshaw Road or even Nick Davis Road, that you see the wheat fields that are planted. Beautiful, beautiful green this time of year. They're going to come on and they are going to turn almost white. That's the time of harvest. Jesus says you don't have to wait 4 months for that harvest. Harvest time is now. It's not some other time. And I mentioned before that I know there are people in my life that I've only met one time. And I may be the only Christian that they ever meet. And if I don't open my mouth, if I don't take the opportunity, who will they ever hear the gospel from? We need to look. We need to be ready. We need to see that the harvest is there. This is the desire for the Lord. In Luke chapter 10, as Jesus is sending his disciples first, back in chapter 9, and then in chapter 10, he's going to send 70 out. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He's got 70. They're going out in pairs, 35. There were many, many little villages, towns throughout this area. And he was sending them first. They were preparing. They were being able to spread the seed of the kingdom. And then Jesus was going to come to that city, to that village, and it would be prepared. But Jesus says here in verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Why are the laborers few? You know, in Florida, there are seasonal crops. You've got oranges, you've got strawberries, and that time of year, there are those that immigrate from several different places into the state of Florida. And you've got these that are there, they're waiting for these crops to come so they will be able to go out and harvest these crops. There are many that are there because the harvest is there. Why would there be few laborers? The laborers he's looking at today would be Christians. Why would there be few Christians that are willing to labor? Is he making a comparison to those that are in the world? Are there just very few Christians that are trying to take the gospel? Or is he looking at Christians and saying that there are only very few Christians that are willing to be laborers? It is labor to take the gospel to people. It takes time. It takes effort. It may be doing something you don't feel comfortable doing, of putting yourself out there and talking to people. But this is what it means. It is labor. But you know, it is rejoicing also. Yeah, as we were talking there in John 4 about having food, there's many times that I can remember, especially in Melbourne, Florida, that I did not sit down with my family and eat the evening meal. Because I was going someplace to meet with someone to talk with them about the gospel. And I can remember so many times coming back home and thinking of how great the opportunity was, the rejoicing that I had. It didn't matter if I ate. It didn't matter at all if I did come in and I did eat. But it didn't matter, because that's how much it really means if you're spreading the gospel. And you know, many people never understand that. Many people never have that feeling. That's something that the Lord desires for us. We have the Lord's instruction of really how to go about doing this. He has not left us without a way. In Mark chapter 5, We see there of a man who is demon-possessed. And the Lord comes, and he has been in the tombs, and this man comes out. And the Lord casts the demons out. And as the Lord asks the demon, "What is your name?" He says, "Legion, for we are many." And the Lord casts the demons out, and they go into a herd of swine, about 2,000 of them. And they run down the bank, and they are killed in the water. And the people there say, "Go away from us. We don't want to see, we don't want to have any more of this." Verse 18, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. He went to Decapolis. This was on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, primarily 10 cities. In all of this area, this demon-possessed man, that he went telling them what great things Jesus had done for him. You know, it's a place to start when you talk to people. "Look what the Lord has done for me." I don't mean physical things. I don't mean physical blessings. I don't mean the house or the car or your health or whatever you might have. Talk about the great things that the Lord has done for you as far as forgiveness of sins, as far as the opportunity to worship Him, to know that your prayers are heard as a child of God, to be able to have all the spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. Those are the things we need to talk to people about. It doesn't matter about the physical things, because you can always look at somebody that's going to have more physical things than you do. It's not the physical things. It's the spiritual things. "Go home, report to them what great things the Lord has done for you." That's the way we need to go to people. That's the way we need to talk to them. These are the Lord's instructions of how we can go. And in Matthew chapter 13, Granville read to us the parable that Jesus gave in the first 9 verses. That Jesus, again, that he was sitting in the house, that he went out to the sea, went in the boat, and he began to teach them in parables. And again, the parable of the sower. That he sowed seed. Some fell by the wayside. There were others that fell in the rocky places. Some among the thorns, and others fell on the good soil. What we very simply learn is, one, that the sower is going out sowing the seed. Luke chapter 8 verse 11 tells us that the seed is the word of God. And this sower, that he would reach into his bag and he would cast this out. And there were 4 different places or 4 different types of soil that this seed fell on. Was the sower responsible for where he sowed the seed? No. He was just sowing the seed. That's what the Lord wants us to be doing, is sowing the seed. You're not responsible if the person obeys the gospel, if they're faithful the rest of their life, or if their heart is hard and they receive nothing. And that's what he goes on to explain. In verse 10 on through verse 17, the disciples asked, "Why do you speak in parables?" And basically Jesus says, so you can understand it, but these people don't understand it. And he quotes from Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9, that in seeing and hearing and understanding, they are not going to do that. But these disciples are blessed. And let me look at verse 16 and 17 for just a moment. "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Do you understand that is you if you're a Christian? This is how richly you're blessed. You understand you can see more and understand more than many prophets did before you. Than so many people. I look at these televangelists. Jimmy Swaggart was on last night, and he was just talking about something that he just knew. That he just knew. And I know from the scriptures that he didn't know that. That it is not true. I'm sitting there and know that I know more than he does, because I know what the scriptures say, and he does not. He does not understand them. And there's so many instances in this way. If you're a Christian, if we're opening the Word of God, we are blessed. Blessed more than all people. What are we going to do with that? We're to take it out and to be sowing it. And the explanation in verse 18. Hear the parable. He's telling his disciples, I want you to hear this. I want you to understand it. That anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Verse 20, the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And on one whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world, deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word and becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. The sower was not responsible. He was sowing the seed. That's what we've got to be out there doing. You don't need to select the person. Here's the one I need to tell the gospel to. We need to be scattering this seed everywhere. The Lord does give us instruction of how we are to go about spreading His word. One last thought this morning. We also have the encouragement of the Lord. We have the encouragement of the Lord that if we are doing what He asks, that these are the things that are His will and also will have a reward. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul had suffered many things, but he says, "I am not ashamed." Not ashamed means that he was going to tell and share this with others. He was not ashamed of who he was. But he also says that it is the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation. The power of God comes from the gospel. It doesn't come from food and entertainment. It doesn't come from games and gymnasiums. It doesn't come from the social halls. This will bring plenty of people in. But the power of the gospel is what can save the individual. It's not all the food and the fun and the games that people try to equate with Christianity today. The power of the gospel for salvation is through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Jesus Christ never said, "Give them food so they'll listen to my word." He never said, "Have the fun and games." The Lord encourages us by pointing out that it is His gospel that saves. It is not anything else. We have the encouragement of the Lord that, as we've said, there is a reward for those who are about His work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul has been writing about those that have come to Corinth, those that have spread the gospel there. That there was some division, even if you go back to chapter 1, some were saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm Cephas, I'm Christ." But he goes on to point out in chapter 3, verse 5, "What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants to whom you believe, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth." The Lord wants us out there sowing the seed. He wants us out there maybe watering. He wants us out there telling others and encouraging them about obedience to the gospel. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's what we're working for, is a reward. I do not know. I have no idea of how the Lord will reward each person that is a Christian. I know there is the promise of heaven. But I know throughout the scriptures there's a promise of the reward of those who are doing what the Lord asks. And especially in telling the gospel to others. It seems to me there's going to be a great reward for those who are willing to put themselves out there. As we said, to labor. Maybe to do something that is even uncomfortable to help others be saved. Final thoughts this morning. As we're talking about leading, being led to some soul, we see that our gospel meetings began in 4 weeks on April the 26th. What if we prayed for the Lord to lead us to a soul that needed salvation? What if you pray that? Do you believe what you pray for? I believe the Lord answers prayers. If we are desirous, if we are sincere, the Lord will answer our prayers. What if we pray to the Lord to lead us to a soul that needs salvation? What if each one of us would invite 5 individuals that we know need the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we'd have about 500 invitations to people. And a personal invitation is what works best. I use the example of Wes and Colin and Anna and all of those. It's the personal invitation. I care about you. I want you to come. I want you to hear the gospel message. I care about your condition. What if each one would invite 10? 4 weeks, invite 10 people. We could have 1,000 people invited to come and listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the way it's done. And it shouldn't be just for gospel meetings. This is something that should go on and on and on in our life. Lead me to some soul today. I hope that is your prayer. I hope that is your desire. If you got your songbooks, turn to our song of invitation this morning. This morning you may not be a Christian and never obeyed the gospel of Christ. My desire, my prayer for you is that you might be saved. My desire in opening the Word of God and talking about it, and others that you know and that you hear, they have that same desire that you might be saved. If you're not a Christian, you have that opportunity to be baptized into Christ, have your sins washed away. As a Christian, again, there's much work for us to do. There's labor on every hand. The fields are white to harvest. We need to be about this spiritual work. And if there's something you need to change in your life, you have that opportunity. Come while we stand and while we sing.